Thank you for joining us today on the Trinity Pentecostal Podcast. We invite you to come and experience the message in the manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And now, Reverend Dale Wells.
Preach with us this morning. Scripture is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. I got some reading glasses, but they're getting a little weak. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Very familiar scripture, but a very important scripture. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Hallelujah. Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Let's pray again. Lord, bless your word to our hearts this morning. Touch us and lead us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to preach your word. As you told Timothy, preach the word. The word is so enlightening. The word is salvation. Lord, the word saves our souls. Send your Holy Ghost anointing. Send your touch, Lord. In this congregation this morning, we'll give you praise and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Fight the good fight of faith. Now, you know, as a young fellow, when I'd get in a fight, it never was pleasant, was it? It never was good. Even if you came out on top, but the Lord is challenging here. It says, fight the good fight of faith. You know, this Christian life is a warfare, is a fight. We have a very strong adversary. Said the devil that goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He is strong. He's a deceiver. He deceives people. He tricks people. He gets them away. We've got to fight. And you know, here it says, fight the good fight of faith. He said that lay hold on eternal life. You know, the reward or the stakes of fighting are so big. They're so great. It's your eternal destiny. You've got to fight this fight of faith. You've got to do this warfare, Christian battling. Now, when you think about the Iraq battle and the Afghanistan battle, you think of people that are hurt, people that are crippled up and wounded. And you think about, you know, there's been so many, many of the Iraqians, thousands of them. But you think about the little children, you know, homeless, orphans, refugees. And then this fight of faith, if the parents get knocked out of the battle spiritually, if they lose their spiritual salvation and they drop out, you know, the little children, they don't have a chance, you know. The little children of the Christian homes don't have a chance. If mom and dad lose out with the battle, with the spiritual things of life. Now I was thinking about my own home family, my own home. Now my mom and dad, they were raised in Christian home. And they knew what it was to be saved even before they was married. And you know, they got married. And this happened so many times after they were married. They didn't go to church no more. They didn't go to the house of the Lord. They didn't teach us, me and my two brothers. They didn't teach us about the Lord. And I remember I was 13 before I really ever knew about salvation. Now, we had went to church. Just going to church doesn't mean much. You got to know about salvation. You got to know about the blood and the change in your life. I never knew that. Till I was 13, you know why I didn't know? Mom and Dad never talked about it. They knew all about this. All my growing up to 13, they knew all about it. But you know, they had got lost in the spiritual battle. They had lost in that fight of faith. And they had dropped out and didn't go to church. But I thank God for a good neighbor. Thank God for a tent revival. That neighbor was Eloise Cooper. Some of you might know. She was our neighbor. She invited us to go, invited our family to go to this tent revival that the church was putting on, Pentecost Church of God there in Valley Park. And we went, and Mom and Dad got saved, back to the Lord. And that got our whole family in the Lord. And I got saved. And I never knew what it was, praise God. And I'm glad they got back into the fight, into the battle, because that devil is tricky. You know, if the devil came to Jesus and tested him and tried to get him to yield to what he wanted, the devil will try to deceive us. He'll try to get in our families. He'll try to cause us to not understand. It says in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'll tell you, he's powerful. Don't misunderstand him. Don't put him as somebody weak. He has all power, and we need to beware of that, and we need to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of the things of God. He has so many ways to discourage and deceive and cause people to be away from the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 10:3, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I want you to know our weapons are mighty. They are mighty through God. They'll pull down the strongholds of the devil. They'll defeat him. We have weaponry. We have strength. We have help. We have all these things that we need. But so many times the church today is using carnal weapons. They're using human ingenuity, you know, just their genius, intelligence. They're using charisma, you know. They're using personality and talents. They're using organizing abilities. They're not using those weapons that the Lord has given. They're using organized abilities. They're using eloquence. They're using wealth. They're using education. They're using programs. They're using propaganda. I'll tell you, it's all inadequate. It won't pull down strongholds. It's all carnal. It's all of the flesh. It's all of humanism. We need to use the weapons of the Lord's welfare as we fight this battle. Hallelujah. Now we do have a mighty adversary. He is mighty. We can't discount him a bit. In Ephesians 6:12 it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. That's the devil and all his demons. It says against powers. I want you to know we wrestle against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We can't discount the devil. We've got a fight on our hands, but we've got to fight because we want eternal life. We've got to live this life. We've got to fight this life. Hallelujah. You know, in the last days, which we're very close to, in 2 Thessalonians 2:8, it says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. Now he's talking about the Antichrist here, that he's going to be revealed, and his coming is after the working of Satan. Now listen to this. Satan gives him, it says, with all power and signs and lying wonders. We've got a very strong adversary in the devil. And he's going to give these strengths and power to the Antichrist and to the false prophet. It said, with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. Oh, we've got to dig in our trenches, folks. We got to get in deeper with the Lord. We got to get that Word of God in our hearts more and more. Thank God for people reading the Word. The Word is so important, and we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That anointing in our lives. And we need the fellowship of the brothers. You know what we need to do? Go to church more. Go to church more. Why don't you ask the pastor, could we have another church night? Now, don't be smiling at me. Go to church more as we see the day approaching and fellowship with the Lord and with the Spirit. Didn't we have a good spiritual touch this morning? I felt it. I don't know about you, but I came to worship the Lord. And I came to see folks and have fellowship with the brothers, hallelujah, and the sisters. Praise God. We need to be more in church, more in prayer. Praise God. More in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. The things of the Lord. Hallelujah. Peter also brings it out. He says in 1 Peter 5 and 8, be sober, be vigilant. That means watchful, looking. Sober, you're wide awake. No drowsiness, no drunkenness. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He said here in verse 9, whom resist steadfastly in the faith, praise God. He's saying, fight the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. Do the things that you need to do, praise God. Now, in our text this morning, I wanted to read the scriptures before, so if you still got 1 Timothy 6 there, let's start with 9. Verse 9, it says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, we understand, you know, if we have a covetousness, a greedy spirit. But when it said there, something hit me different. It said, they that will be rich. And the note I made on my Bible there was gambling. Gambling's thrown at this society in every way. Gambling. Gambling. Get rich, gambling. And the stakes get higher and higher. And, you know, if you go to Las Vegas, and it says also here, it says, they fall into temptation and to many foolish and hurtful lusts. If you go to Las Vegas, which is the capital of gambling, I guess, there is all kinds of lusts, all kinds of ungodliness there that goes right along with the gambling. You know, and it said there that even the people, society, say it's called Sin City. Sin City, so with gambling and the love of money and those things that can get in all of us, hallelujah, get in all of us. They can get some extra money, oh, if I could just gamble. The love of money is the root of all evil, it says. And so as we read on, it says, but thou, man of God, flee these things. Just don't even get involved in it in any way. I know some Christians have got involved in gambling. And, you know, if you get involved in something, then you want to say, well, I can't see any harm in it anymore. Flee such things, it says. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, and faith, love, and patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, it says. There's a lot of temptations that come. Gambling is just one. But there's a lot of different temptations. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. All of these will. You've got to fight the good fight of faith. You've got to watch out, hallelujah, and hold fast to the things of God. You got to pray one for another and support one another. Can you say amen? You know, as I mentioned, the church is tempted to meet the challenge that faces with just carnal weapons. And here's some of those carnal weapons. Just the humanistic wisdom. That's man's wisdom. That's man's thinking. And what goes right along with it is philosophy and psychology. You know, psychology is taking the place of prayer. You know, folks back there, grandma and grandpa's time, they didn't rely upon psychology and philosophy and all that. They got out and prayed until they prayed through. Hallelujah. I don't think much of psychology. Just humanistic things. You know, the church has called for exciting attractions, you know, entertainment. They've called for performances of every kind. Throw a little Christian in on it. Now, all these are just substitutes for the real weapons of our warfare. These are carnal. They will not pull down the devil's strongholds. We've got to have what God said is the weapons of our warfare. These weapons that are being used by the church today, all of these weapons I just mentioned, they're just secular. They're just worldly, carnal. And what they'll do, they will cause that we will lose what we need as a church to have the right weapons, have the faith, have the power of God in our lives. We'll be overshadowed with the power of darkness. Families will be cast down. And people will be taken captive. And little children will lose their spiritual heritage. Oh, we need to come out strong, don't we? Praise God, praise God. Amen. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 10th verse. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might. Here it comes, folks. Here comes the weapons of our warfare. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. All his deceiving, all his trickery, everything. Be strong in the Lord. It says in verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Hallelujah. Stand therefore. Amen. If you take the weapons of our warfare, the weapons of the Lord that pulls down strongholds, you will be able to obey the Lord. When you've done all to stand, you can still stand. You can make up the hedge. You can fill in the gap. You can be a soul, hallelujah, a soul winner, praise God. It says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. You know, that's one of the best weapons. The Lord is truth. His word is truth. And all so many other things in this world is just a lie of the serpent, a lie of the devil. So the word is truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, God still wants righteous, godly, holy living. It's not a pleasant, it's not a good word in so many churches today, but God wants righteousness. He wants holiness separated from sin. He wants godliness in our lives, and nothing will take that place. And that'll get the job done if holy people are praying. In verse 15 it said, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He still wants us to witness. It tells us in Acts 2 there, and Acts 1 and 8, that we would have power to witness through the Holy Spirit. He still wants us, and we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. He still wants us to witness. He said, your feet are shod, they're prepared, they're steady, they're strong. Hallelujah, with that gospel of peace. Then he says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Faith is still so important that we believe God is. And that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That faith is moving in our hearts and our lives. Faith for everything. The Lord tells us that we believe, we trust, we have. The Lord is our highest leader, praise God. He says, wherefore ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You know, faith, that shield of faith will stop the fiery darts of Satan. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, it says. Oh, thank God we're in the word. Faith, we simply believe God, take him at his word. You know, if we can't see in the natural and it's not logical, we still believe because God said it and we're following the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. And he said, and take the helmet of salvation. That's above all, that we be saved and used of God. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, praying. Our Sunday school lesson this morning was on prayer. But you know, the devil is trying to deceive and steal prayer away from the church. Let's stop him in his tracks. Let's fight the good fight of faith. Say, no, sir. No, sir. I'm so thrilled when I see our young people wanting to have prayer meetings. Can you imagine that? Teenagers, high schoolers, college kids wanting to have a prayer meeting. And come and pray. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Of course, you already know it. I don't have to share it with you. But we have unusual young people. We don't have the run-of-the-mill young people. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. They love the Lord and they seek the Lord. They love to get together. Praise God. I wanted to read you Revelation 20 and verse 1, if you want to turn over there. You know that adversary, he's going to bring in the Antichrist. He said, when he that withholdeth is taken out of the way, then shall that wicked be revealed. And you know, and it's mentioned two times, and here's what I like to think. You know, the Holy Spirit is that withhold. He is the third Trinity. He's the third person of God. He can hold back the devil. The devil's only an archangel fallen. But the Holy Spirit is God. He can hold him back. And it mentioned that two times there in Thessalonians. But one is that when he's taken out of the way. And when the Holy Ghost-filled church is removed, the rapture, then shall that wicked be revealed. And you know, the devil is so powerful, so strong. He gives the Antichrist and the false prophet that lying wonders, miracles, that even if the elect, if possible, be deceived. You know? And so we think of the elect as Israel. Even if the elect could be received, but you know, God is still God. And he says, you fight the good fight of faith. You fight, you fight, you fight. And here I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to your adversary. Revelations 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he lay hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more. I want you to know that he deceives nations, not only people, not only families. He deceives whole nations, whole people. Cast him into the bottomless pit until the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. And then look at verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations again. Going out to deceive them. After it's been 1,000 years with Jesus on earth, perfect peace, the devil still has power. And he goes out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. He gathers them all to battle. And they went up to the on the breadth of the earth and compass the camp of the saints about. All the saints are ruling and reigning with the Lord. They come up to Jerusalem and they surround them. And the beloved city of course is Jerusalem. And here's what happens. And fire came down from God out of heaven and destroyed them. And listen to this, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's in. That's the end of Satan right here. Revelations 20 and 10. It's his demise. It's his finish. Keep fighting, children of God. Keep fighting. You know why? We win. We win. We win, praise God. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today on the Trinity Pentecostal Podcast. We invite you to come and experience the message in the manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And now, Reverend Dale Wells.
Was shut. Those that were ready went in, and the Lord shut the door.